lose a bowl game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside, as always, by my co-host, Drew Pons. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're counting down the days of the off season. As we record, we are 72 or 73 days left until Jack State football. And I'm really excited about this particular show. And we'll talk more about it here in a minute. But this is going to be a very special episode for us for a couple reasons. You know, the big one is, when we set out to start the podcast, we have exceeded every goal we had in place. You know, we thought if we had 15 people that listened to us, you know, that's where we want to be. And we've got far more than that. We also said when we first started, it'd be cool if we could interview Eli Jenkins or Josh Barge one day. And that is the interview that you guys get to hear. We got to talk to Josh, and our plans normally were kind of run it like we've done interviews in the past with Huff or Moran, where we kind of have a normal episode and then have the interview at the very end. But Josh was really, really good. We had a lot of fun with him. The interview was longer than what we thought it was going to be. And it was just a really interesting talk we were fortunate enough to have with him. So we're going to kind of make it the episode to where we're going to play it for you guys here in just a minute. It's about 27 minutes long, and that's going to kind of fill the episode. And we think you guys will really like it. We got to talk about a lot of fun stuff. You hear a lot of 2015 talk. He mentions Eli and the connection he had with him. And just all kinds of stuff. So we had a lot of fun. We thanked him on the interview. We'll thank him again. You know, Josh, we really appreciate having you on. And we had just tons of fun. So there is other news, not pressing news that we're going to get into today, but, in a week when you hear from us again, you know, we'll talk about the class of 2026 news. I know the Radarian Jones, commitment was huge with the schools that Jack State out recruited. We want to get into that next episode, as well as some of the conference realignment or potential conference realignment news. But we want to give the Josh Barge interview the attention it deserves, because we had a ton of fun, and we feel very lucky to get to talk to him. And it was by far and away more than we could have hoped for from Josh. So Brooks, I'll let you talk about it for a minute, and then we'll play you guys the interview, and we'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Yeah, this was without a doubt, you know, one of the most fun interviews that we've had the privilege of getting to do. Josh is a great guy. He was a lot of fun to talk to. Told us some stuff that we didn't know about, and gave us some really good stories, and shared some of his insight on, you know, where — I don't want to spoil too much, but you know, where how far we've come as a program, and where he sees us going. And, you know, just a lot of really great stuff. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy this interview. like Drew said, there has been some stuff going on outside, both inside and outside of Jacksonville, Alabama. Big name recruits coming in. We'll definitely do a deep dive into that. And then, like you said, some rumors, schools shuffling around within the conference, possibly Louisiana Tech leaving, who we might add, probably another FCS jump. But we'll do a deep dive into that next episode. Like you said, this was just such a great interview. We're really, really excited to get to do this one. So it's a short one, but a great one for sure. So, we'll do a full episode next time, but for now we want to leave you with our interview with Josh Barge. So we hope you enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right. We would now like to welcome on a very, very, very special guest. He is undoubtedly, in my opinion, the greatest Jacksonville State wide receiver of all time. He's the leader in career receiving yards, single season receiving yards, career receptions, you name it, just about any receiving category, and he's the leader in it, with 19 touchdowns to add on. He is undoubtedly one, like I said, one of the best ever wear the red and white. Former Jack State receiver Josh Barge. Josh, thank you so much for coming on. This is you're one that we've been wanting to track down for a while, so we're really excited to get to talk to you.
No, I'm excited to be here. I appreciate you guys for reaching out, and I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. You were actually back in Jacksonville today for a 7-on-7 tournament, weren't you?
Yeah, sir. We got down there around 9 o'clock Georgia time, and we went 8-0 on the day, won a championship. So it was good to be back, you know, for the first time in a long time, and then go out on a winning note. So, you know, it's kind of like how it's been my whole time at Jacksonville State, just winning. So it just felt good to go out with a win.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So kind of to that point to start with, for those, like Brooke said, everyone listening to us knows who you are. There's no introduction needed. So tell us kind of what you've been doing since you graduated, kind of keep up with you, and we'll start from there.
Well, since I've graduated, first and foremost, I'm going to start with my wife and my family. I got married to Destiny James, who was the point guard at Jacksonville State. So she played basketball and I was playing football, so pretty neat to be able to, you know, marry the person that I met down there, and, you know, we fell in love, and we got two beautiful daughters. I got a 6-year-old, her name is Faith, and then I have a 2-year-old, but acts like a 10-year-old, her name is Hope. That started my family. I was able to get married, you know, got two beautiful daughters. But with my time, I was able to go spend a little time with Jacksonville Jaguars. Things didn't quite work out, and then, you know, got to, you know, try out for some CFL teams and, you know, test a little indoor waters and all of that as far as being, you know, indoor football. But at the end of the day, like I said, having my first child, having Faith, I knew the type of guy I was. It'll shock a lot of people. My goal was to never just go to the NFL. I was just playing football and just, you know, I knew I was good, but like I said, my goal was not just to go to the NFL. And I, you know, people that really know me kind of know that, but people who don't, it kind of shocks people. But I just never, like, that wasn't my goal to go to the NFL. I was playing football solely just because I knew my mom did not have to pay for college. Like, that was my main goal when I left high school, because my dad passed away when I was in high school. So I was like, I'm not going to let my mom pay for college. So I was just there really just having fun playing football. And so when it was all kind of over with, my mind was I wanted to be a great father, and now I want to be a coach and a mentor to other kids. And so I was able to, you know, get married. Now I'm back in Carrollton, my hometown, and I've been the receivers coach for the past, I think, 4 years at the high school level. And I've been able to coach up under Joey King, who's one of the best coaches, in my opinion, ever, but definitely one of the best coaches in the state of Georgia. So I've been able to learn a lot. But like I said, it's been very neat because my brother, who actually transferred to Jacksonville State and played with me the last 2 years, he's the quarterback's coach here. So it's kind of like, you know, we're back playing together on the same team, basically. But yeah, I've just been a coach, and I've also been a fourth grade math and science teacher. So I've been teaching fourth grade for the past 6 years, and that's been awesome. And like I said, I just love working with kids. And so that's basically where I'm at in my life right now, just, you know, coaching at Carrollton and still teaching.
Awesome. That, you know, sounds like you're doing what you want to do, which is great to hear. But into the nitty gritty stuff, we'll kind of start with 2015. I know your senior year is 2016, but 2015 was the year that everybody remembers. That was the record breaker for you, or whether it was yards, catches, that's even up there in the touchdown category. But your 2015 was certainly special, and I want to talk about more than just your 2015. That team is that group is what most people would pretty much say is the best team in school history. Above the 92 national championship team, above the, you know, the last 2 years, the bowl win and the conference USA title, that is still what most would consider the best team ever. And you can, you know, go through the list. You know, obviously you're there, and Eli and Tremaine Pope and Justin Lee's probably the best lineman in school history on that team. Ruby Gonzalez played a big role. And then you look at the defense with Darius Jackson and Chris Landrum and Joel McCandless. I mean, you can just go on and on and on. Just talk about that group, and how good that group was, how it came together, and how much fun that season was. We're not going to spend a terrible amount of time, but I do want to hear you talk about that group in particular.
Oh man, that was, you know, that's my guy there. That group in general, I think that was, like you said, it's one of the most special groups to ever come through Jacksonville State. I know I played on the team, but I totally agree with you. I do think we were the best team hands down to come through Jacksonville State. And I know I played a big role on it, but like you said, you had Eli Jenkins, Tremaine Pope, you had Ruben Gonzalez, you had, I think, one of the best O-lines that I've ever played with. And if you look at the defensive side of the ball, you got Darius Jackson, who broke records. You got Jalen Hill, who broke records. You got Jermaine Huff. You got, I mean, it, like Joe McCandless. You got so many people. I really like the parts that you factor in. So we had a couple of transfers that came in, like Chris Landrum, Devontae Sigler, LaMichael Fanning. Like, we had guys that played at that next level who came to Jacksonville State and brought that experience, but also that leadership as well. And like I said, by that time, you know, we were already 2 years in as a group, got put out, you know, the first round that year before. So we were definitely hungry, and that was just a special group of guys right there, man. And like I said, man, just looking back at it, I know, me personally, I would not have had the success that I had without them. So, you know, I always gave them the credit. As soon as I broke the record that one game, I know at halftime I stood up in front of the team and I thanked them, because without them, it wouldn't have been for that, you know. So definitely love them guys, man. And like I said, most of them were at my wedding and my wedding. So those are my guys there, man.
Yeah. And that's that was a team. Go ahead, Bert.
I was going to say, sorry. I was about to ask, it sounds like you're a pretty tight-knit group. I know, do y'all still stay in a good bit of, in touch pretty good? I know Buster's back here as on Coach Kelly's staff, and then I think Eli's still in Birmingham, but y'all stay in touch pretty good?
Yeah. We try to stay in touch as much as possible. You know, all of us now are working, so it's kind of difficult. But anytime that we can catch up, yeah, like I always stay in touch with Eli. It's Miles Jones' birthday today, matter of fact. So I was able to text him and tell him happy birthday. It was funny because the first picture I saw when I walked into the field house was Tremaine Pope's photo. So I was able to see him through a picture today. But yeah, we try to stay in touch as much as possible. Because like I said, I mean, that group of guys right there, man, it's hard. It's hard not to stay in touch with them. So. We all follow each other on social media, so we all keep in touch and see what's updated with everybody.
Yep, absolutely. And for those that weren't, you know, maybe you're in school at Jack State now and didn't get to win this 2015 team with us. You know, that was a team for those of you that are listening. Ran through the conference, ran through the OVC, ran through the first three rounds of the playoffs, and then kind of ran into a buzzsaw that is essentially a at that time was a Power Five team in North Dakota State that was kind of running around in the FCS level. So they were, you know, and I don't want to speak ill of the graduated, but Hamish McKinnis was a great punter, but had he not shanked under the circumstances, the worst shank of all time against Auburn, they would have beaten Auburn as well. So that was a really fun group. So for those who aren't familiar, I did want to kind of speed everybody up, but Josh, I do want to talk about Eli for a little bit. Obviously Eli's the, by far and away, the best quarterback in school history.
He's the GOAT.
in every aspect, passing, running, leadership, he did it all. Probably should have won the Walter Payton Award there a time or two, but kind of got snubbed, we think. The FCS Heisman. But I do want to hear Josh talk about your connect with Eli and how fun it was to be able to catch pass from him for four years.
So it's crazy because we came in together, but me and him both redshirted together as well. So that first year, me and him was on, you know, scout team, and we were giving the defense hell. I mean, the defensive coordinator was cussing out the defense almost every day, you know. So I think that's when me and him knew that, okay, well, we're gonna have a special connection. But it was crazy because it's not like we were, like, just joined at the hip. You know what I'm saying? It's not like every day we go out there, it's like, hey, we need to run these routes. We just had this special connection. I think Eli knew, okay, if I put it somewhere around Josh, I trust him to go make a play. And that's all I need from a quarterback. If you just put it somewhere around me and trust me, man, I got your back. I'm going to make a play. So, but then there's sometimes where Eli would throw a ball, and I'm like, bro, like that's next level right there. So, but then some of the running stuff that he would do, he would make defenders look crazy when he ran the ball. So, like I said, just an all-around quarterback. I do think that, you know, like I said, not being biased because I played with him, but definitely the best quarterback, you know, to come through. And that's no knock on any great quarterbacks that's came through Jacksonville State, but he was something special. And he made us go on the offensive end. He sure did. And one thing that I really picked up from him as I, you know, came along, especially like that junior year, was, you know, his maturity. Him being able to lead the team, that helped me become a leader on the team a little bit. So it helped me grow up. And if I went on my A game, he let me know. And if he wasn't on his A game, I would let him know. So you know, we held each other to a standard. And like I said, at the end of the day, it just showed for itself, just, you know, I guess the greatness that he has. Because like I said, he made some plays out there that it's just like, man, I was just, sometimes I felt like a fan. I would be out there in the middle of the field and he'll make a move and I just kind of stop and like, man, I felt like I should have bought a ticket for that, you know. So definitely the best, in my opinion, to ever come through Jacksonville State.
Yeah, there's no argument. And I think, you know, we talked about on the show a long time when we first started about a year and a half ago, the best games in school history. And we talked about the Sam Houston semifinal game where Pope ran up and down the field and so did Eli. But the game we left off that a lot of the fans thought of first was the game before against Chattanooga that went to overtime. And that was a game that me and Brooks obviously were both at. And that is one where, you know, if you look at Eli's legacy, and it's hard to point to just one moment or one game, but that game against Chattanooga in overtime, which was a war for four quarters plus, is one that kind of jumps out to me. So, you know, you could spend a lot of time going through some of Eli's stuff and talk about how good he was and the connection obviously that you had with him also, and what we were able to witness for 4 years was, you know, unlike, you know, at the time in FCS school, I don't think there's a quarterback receiver duo that anyone got to witness that was as prolific and as fun to watch as you two. But anyway, Brooks, I know we talked about kind of the university, where it is now and if where it's going. So I'll let Brooks kind of take over for just a minute.
Yeah. So to talk a little bit about, you know, Jack State today, you know, you were there today and got to see the new field, the field house, all the stadium renovations and everything. So just kind of give us your thoughts. You know, you were there, like Drew said, on one of the greatest, if not the greatest team in Jack State history. And, you know, at the time, did it ever cross your mind, or did you ever think, you know, that, you know, while you were there, this is kind of the mountaintop, this is the peak of where Jack State football is, you know, being ranked number one in FCS, made a national championship appearance, you know, nearly beat Auburn. Everything that you guys did you ever think that, you know, that was the peak, or, you know, that we would ever be in a position that we're in today, being in Conference USA and winning bowl games and winning conference championships?
To be honest with you, I really thought that this is where we would be at, you know, and it doesn't even start with me playing. It starts with the class before us, before we came in, when they upset Ole Miss. So when they upset Ole Miss, that kind of shined a little bit of light on Jacksonville State. And then, like I said, we, you know, coming in, they just kind of passed the torch to us, and then we just kept it rolling. But I would definitely say that junior year, like you said, being one of the best teams to ever come through Jacksonville State, I think that really put JSU on the map. And, you know, once that happened, I had a great feeling that it was going to be good from then on out, and was waiting for us to really move up. Because, like I said, my sophomore year, really my sophomore, my junior, and my senior year, I did not lose an OVC game. So we were just running through the OVC. And, you know, like I said, we really didn't hit. I'm not going to say, like, there wasn't no competition. So there was decent competition. It's just we were doing our thing there. So when we moved up to, you know, FBS, I remember me and Eli were actually talking about it. Like, we didn't have any doubt at all. We were like, you know what, we're going to go up there and people are going to be shocked about it, but we're not going to be shocked. So as JSU was winning, like, we weren't shocked at all. You know, even when they won the first bowl game, like, I was not shocked. And I was able to meet Coach Rich Rod, at a 707 at Auburn, and just the attitude he had towards it, I was like, oh, okay. Like, you got a plan for this, you know. And, you know, what he's done with the program leading up to now, like, I'm excited. And meeting Coach Kelly today, like, I'm definitely excited. So I'm looking forward to, you know, actually being able to come back to some games now, you know. And that's one thing that they're very, you know, open about right now is, you know, being, you know, alumni supportive. So just talking to a bunch of alumni today, they're definitely, you know, trying to get everything back to kind of how it was and letting the younger guys know now that's there. Because, you know, now it's with the transfer portal and everything like that, NIL, you know, kids kind of forget about what it took to actually get to this point. So they want to try to get all these alumni back to kind of let these kids know that, hey, look, like, we kind of put the bricks in place for this, for y'all to be able to, you know, keep adding bricks on to it. And, you know, just them selling me that pitch today, I'm like, you know what, this is, you know, that's what it was kind of like when I was there. So they're trying to bring that culture back, and I'm all for it.
I'm glad you, I'm actually glad you brought all that up and, you know, talking about how it was established, you know, establishing and getting, or setting up for the future of Jack State. So that being said, knowing that we can't and going out and proving to the whole world that we can win conference championships, we can win bowl games because we did it. And we can, beat these FBS schools, good FBS schools. Where do you see us going? Where do you see us going going forward? And, I know that's kind of a hard question to answer because, we don't know what college football is going to look like next year, much less 5, 10, 15 years down the road. But, is it a real possibility now that, we can actually make the college football playoff? I know that's a possibility, but, do you see us actually going through with that? Do you see us, moving to an even bigger conference, one day having a 40,000-50,000 seat stadium? Yeah. That might be a stretch, but, you never know.
I do see it because, like I said, one thing that I know our high school coach, preaches about all the time is either growing or you're decaying. So you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Like I said, just speaking to Coach Kelly today, reuniting with, the guy that actually kind of got me down to Jacksonville State, which was Max Thurman, Coach Thurman. He's a special teams coordinator. Just kind of talking to them. They're trying the path that they've been on is great and all, but they're trying to actually get back to, like you said, competing for a national championship. Now that we are FBS, we got a chance to try to get, top 25 in the nation. You're trying to get to, be in the playoff, college playoffs and things like that. So now that it is a true possibility, like, why not shoot for that? So, I think that Jacksonville State's on, they're definitely on the come up. Because, I said, with us, you just had the FCS playoffs and you had the championship. So the goal was, win your conference, then you get to go to the playoffs. And then you win each game in the playoffs so you can try to win a national championship. Now with JSU is, they, especially with a whole new turnaround and having Coach Kelly and all, I don't think that it's just going to happen like right now. I don't think they'll go out there and just go undefeated and, kill everybody. Like, you have a whole new coaching change. You got, different players, that's got to learn the system. So it's going to take some time. But when you got good people around, like the coaches they have there right now, it's going to be enjoyable. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, when Coach, Bill Clark came in and everything like that. I mean, we did good that first season, but like I said, it was built. It was brick by brick, So I do expect us within the next 10 years to at least be, one of them top schools in the country, at least in the top 25, fighting for a top 25 spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's our thought also is, we've came, a really long way really quickly. Kind of what's the limit? I don't think anybody knows. You mentioned Bill Clark there for a minute, and Bill Clark's a guy that me and Brooks really give a lot of credit. He was here for 1 year, so it's hard to give him a ton of credit, but we do. We give him a ton of credit for really setting the foundation for what you see today. Not that we don't love Jack Crow. He was a great coach in his time, but I think Bill Clark really came in and changed the culture and the mindset of the program. And he only got the 1 year under him. So I do want to talk about, you were recruited and brought here by Coach Jack Crow. You got the 1 year under Bill Clark, and then you were with John Gross the rest of your tenure. So talk about the being able to see, three of the, bigger coaches in Jack State history, just what the coaching changes were like, if that was difficult from year to year, kind of what that was like for your first three seasons.
It was very interesting. So they're all three different. Before I even start, I do want to tell you, I totally agree with you. I wouldn't give Coach Clark all the credit, but majority of the credit you got to give to him. And I'll tell you why in a minute, because I feel like all three had a hand in, getting us to where we were at. So I think Coach Crow had the main part of the recruiting process. So he got, me, Eli, Tremaine, Pope. He got, basically kind of the heart of the team at the beginning. When he left and Bill Clark came in, Bill Clark, and I hate calling him Bill Clark, I'm going to call him Coach Clark. Coach Clark, he came in, and even though it was just a year, he brought all the toughness. Like, he brought the discipline. He brought everything. Like, I know when he first got here, but first thing in my head was, am I going to make it with him? Because I never played for a coach like that before. So, like, what he brought instilled that work ethic in us. And then when he left, Coach Gross was already there as the offensive coordinator. So when he came up, he didn't really have to make us work. We already kind of knew how to work. Coach Clark kind of put that into us. Coach Gross kind of took over, and the offense that he had was the RPO game. It was, the stuff. And his game plan was not complex. It was very simple. Get the playmakers the ball. Like, how can we get the playmakers the ball so we can win this game? So he did a great job with that. So they all three kind of, you know, had a part on getting us, I think, to that national championship. But yeah, Coach Clark, I give him so much credit, man, just because, like I said, he was only there for a year. And like I said, my relationship with him, like it wasn't like it was with Coach Crow and Coach Gross because I knew them longer. But I got so much respect for him just because just the little amount of time he was there, he made such a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, you can see that in Bill Clark's, you know, what he's done, you know, since he's been at Jack State. You know, if you can win at UAB, you can win anywhere.
Yes.
Nothing against UAB and what the school does down there, but they have, you know, historically terrible football program. And he came in, you know, first year and turned him around, and they shut the program down, then they never, you know, never missed a beat after that, then won conference championships, and he's had to stop coaching for some medical reasons. But he was, you know, when we were, and we love Coach Kelly. We think he's done a great job, especially recruiting in his time here. But that was our pick, was if there was a way to get Bill Clark back at Jack State, we were all for it. So, but I think we're lucky to have Coach Kelly now. But Josh, we've been about 21 minutes or so. We're not going to take up too much more of your time. I know you got family stuff you need to get to, but real quick, everyone that comes on gets the trivia. So I do have trivia for you. It is catered to you, so I think you'll do well. And it's all going to be based around pretty much the same thing. So your first touchdown catch at Jack State, I'm sure that you'll remember it pretty well, but for a lot of the folks listening, it is not what you would think it's going to be, especially who threw it. So we're going to get into some of that stuff. Josh, we'll start with that. You remember who threw your first touchdown pass? Because no one listening is going to know the answer to this.
Was it Mac Shortell?
It was Mac Shortell. We were shocked by that. We were trying to figure out what we wanted to do for trivia, where we wanted to do, like, you know, statistical stuff, which would be as fun. And then we kind of saw this, and we're like, well, this is what we'll do. So Mac Shortell threw it. Remember who it came against?
Eastern Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky is correct. Do you know what the final score of that game was? It was incredible.
Ooh, I do not remember. Ooh, I don't remember that.
It was 68-10.
Ooh, I knew it was pretty bad. I just didn't know. We put up 68 points that game?
68-10. Your touchdown catch made it 47-10, and that was midway through the third quarter or so by the box score. The funniest part we saw was we actually got some of those numbers from Eastern Kentucky's website, and they stopped keeping score in the fourth quarter. So all the box score has on their website is stats for the third quarter and then the final score. Nothing in the fourth quarter is even there. It's kind of like the statistician just went home.
Sounds about right.
Mac Shortell threw Josh Barge's first touchdown pass, which is like the third or fourth option for me. You start with Eli, and then you know, maybe Marcus Ivory gets in there, but I guess you redshirted his last year, so That would have been a stretch. Same with Cody Blanchard, but I don't think Mac Shortell would have been everyone's first guess. But that's how it went. And I believe, if I read the numbers right, that every other touchdown pass you caught came from the same guy.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you caught one from anybody else. So that was.
I don't know if I caught one from Christian LeMay. I doubt I did.
Yeah, some of the best.
Ahead, you asked me that question before we got started, and I guessed about three other quarterbacks besides Eli. I'll be honest, Max was one I completely forgot. real quick before we go, to this has been a lot of fun. We really, really appreciate you, you know, especially after a 7-on-7 tournament, taking the time to talk to us. One last question. This is something that we ask all our guests that come on the show. As you know, one of the things that makes Jacksonville and, of course, Jack State so unique is the food and, of course, the people that make it. So I got to ask, in your opinion, what is the best meal in Jacksonville? Because this is controversial. But
ooh, the best meal. I mean, hands down, Coop DeVille. Like, you know, as a football player, you're going to hit up Coop. That's the number one spot. If you're talking about going and sitting down at a restaurant, oof. I'm not going to throw that out there just because it's some good place. I mean, you can go to Jefferson's, you can go to the Baja, but you know, now when I was in school, we didn't have the cookout and the Chick-fil-A and all of that stuff that's there right now. So now you got options, but you know, back in the day, you know, as long as Coop's there, Jacksonville is they're in good hands. So,
yep, Coop DeVille is the correct answer. You were the first person to get that question right.
Oh man,
I'm a Struts guy, but
and y'all interviewed athletes and they didn't tell you Coop DeVille.
Yeah, Tyler Huff was a Struts guy, and yeah. I think Jordan Smith was a Struts guy also, and Jack Moran, one of the new recruits for Coach Kelly, hadn't been around enough to give us a good answer. So, Coop DeVille.
I think he said Jefferson's maybe.
Yeah, he may have been to Jefferson's on his visit. They took him to Jefferson's, but yeah, Coop DeVille is the answer. If you ask me, for sure.
Instead of if they want to go to a national championship, Coop DeVille would take them there. that was a key ingredient to us in 2015.
All right, Josh. We like Brooke said, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. This is like we said, we set out and did this a year and a half ago. We kind of said it'd be really cool if we could talk to Josh Barge one day or talk to Eli one day. So this is a really special day for us. So we really appreciate you spending about 30 minutes with us, and we'll talk to you maybe one day a long time from now.
Yeah, look, anytime. This was fun, man. This was fun. And if y'all ever, like, I'm gonna get in touch with Eli. Let him know he needs to get on this right here, because y'all can bust his balls with a bunch of questions. So y'all get on him. But I can get in touch with him and get him hooked up with y'all. But no, I appreciate you guys for having me.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah, we definitely like to talk to Eli sometime. Yeah, thank you again so much. We really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, I appreciate y'all.